Hi, I'm John Meehan, and this is Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related that I literally record on my drive home from work. Let's get back to it today. Today we're talking all about Twitter and the goals and roles of being a Twitter-connected educator. It's easy to do it in the time it takes to listen to this podcast. You can create your own Twitter account, and you can get involved and get trending and all those conversations. And today's just a Twitter basics intro primer. So if you're feeling overwhelmed for any reason and you just maybe want to dip your toes in the water, 10 minutes, we're here to walk you into those, gradual ways in so we can make our way in and learn stuff together. A bit about Twitter real quick. It is a micro-blogging platform, which is a fancy way of saying it's like people's sentences, just really, really short. The word blog actually comes from the word web log, literally like a log of information posted to the web. So I think it's funny because when I was growing up, people would write in their journals and or their diaries, and it would be like a big secret that they wouldn't want anyone to see it. It would be like, you know, a cardinal sin to look at somebody else's journal or their, you know, their secret thoughts played on the diary page. That's almost like an everyday thing. Everyone has a blog. Everyone has some sort of feed where they're putting their thoughts. Even something as small as this podcast. Look, I'm just one small educator at a very small school, at a very small state, in a very small country. But I have a chance to share my thoughts and my opinions with the world. And whether you're blogging by writing or whether you're video blogging, we call it vlogging, or micro-blogging with these bite-sized characters on Twitter, you're sharing your thoughts, for whatever they're worth, with everybody else who wants to hear it. And so that's kind of how Twitter was born. Originally, the character set was limited to about 140 characters because in the early days of text messages with SMS, standard messaging system, Twitter stuffs, 140 characters is all a phone could send in an average tweet. About a year ago, Twitter moved, I guess in 2017, to 280 characters, and that's a totally arbitrary number. They can do 5,000 characters if they wanted to, but they like this idea of these short kind of punchy sentences, or these short punchy kind of maybe even sometimes cryptograms back and forth, because it keeps the speed of the conversation very quick. Like these podcasts, just 10 minutes, so there's really no time to get lost in the woods or bogged down. But because it links to everything on the internet, Twitter allows you to link to anything you wanted to. So you can say, hey, here's a great article I found, and you put the link in. Or, hey, here's a cool video that of a story that was of interest to me, and you put that video up. Or, hey, here's a photo of something that I thought was interesting, and you post that up. Or a cool app, and you get a link to their website, et cetera, et cetera. And that's kind of how Twitter kind of subsists. What's cool about it, though, for educators particularly, is that the ability to share information with other educators takes your PLN, your professional learning network, and really turns it into the whole world. Anybody who's on Twitter has the ability to connect with anyone else on Twitter. And so rather than like Googling for stuff or searching for stuff through like the vast uncharted corners of like a massive search engine, you're just joining into a conversation with other people who are looking to converse about the same thing. And the way that Twitter kind of works in that is they use the what they call the hashtag feature. Now, it's 2018 when I'm recording this. I'm sure you know what hashtags are, but for those who just need a 30-second primer, the pound sign, the numbers symbol, if you put that before any phrase or word on the internet, it turns that into a searchable term on Twitter. It also works that same way on Facebook and on Instagram. Social media has picked up on those abilities to take part in what they call trending topics, because certain topics are being talked about a lot. So if you're watching, let's say, Monday Night Football, they might use the hashtag MNF. So if you put the number sign, the letter M, the letter N, the letter F, all in a row with no spaces between it, suddenly you've created a searchable term. So as you said, hey, great touchdown, go Bears, hashtag MNF, if I was to click on that hashtag, I would be able to see everyone else in the whole wide world's conversation about that same topic. And they might not like the team. They might be really upset about the Bears winning the game, or they'd be like, oh, go, go, Eagles, or whatever it looks like. But joining in the conversation allows you to lend your voice to the same ongoing narrative that's unfolding really all over the globe. So those hashtags are really, really powerful, and that's really how Twitter works. So you'll see a lot of things on Twitter where people will say, oh my gosh, great day in my classroom. I really love hashtag learning. If you use that hashtag learning, then click on that word, you'll see everyone else who's used that hashtag learning too. And sometimes it's things that are totally related to teaching, like, hey, here's an example of my students hashtag learning today, or, oh, I love this article, I never stop hashtag learning, which is good and really helpful. Sometimes a little less helpful, because certain words are just very common and people will use them all the time. Like, oh, I was walking out of the house today and I forgot my keys, hashtag learning. Unfortunately, because of the way the Twitter algorithm works, there's no way to sort of disaggregate what type of information you're going to be finding in your feed. If you search for a simple hashtag, if anyone has used that hashtag, you don't know whether it's particularly germane to what you're talking about or not. And so sometimes we kind of do learn by trial and error. The good news about it, though, is because everyone in the world figured this out very quickly, individual hashtags have emerged on Twitter where people just take part in these threaded conversations about education topics. Some of the big ones you might see on Twitter is one that's hashtag TLAP. That stands for Teach Like a Pirate. Dave Burgess, who is the author of the New York Times bestselling book Teach Like a Pirate, is big on Twitter. He now has a consulting company and he's a book publisher as well. And as teachers are doing these innovative, cool, sort of next-gen type teaching stuffs, oftentimes people use the hashtag TLAP or Teach Like a Pirate, so that other teachers can just simply click on that same phrase and find information about the same thing. What's cool about that is where a lot of people would use the word learning on a day-to-day basis, maybe not in teaching settings, the only time you'd ever think to use the phrase TLAP is when you're talking about teaching like a pirate. And so for that reason, it's really cool because you can connect with other educators and be reasonably assured that what you're looking at is going to be kind of already pre-vetted for you, if that makes any sense. There's a bunch of other great Twitter chats that take place sort of as an ongoing basis that you can drop in on any time, as well as regularly scheduled Twitter chats that take place at scheduled times throughout the week or the month. One of my favorites happens, I think it's every Saturday morning at 7:30 a.m. Eastern time, and it's the hashtag SAT chat, right? Like Saturday chat. It's just a bunch of teachers who get together, and in that threaded conversation at 7:30 in the morning Eastern time, they just pop in online, and there's a series of questions that are pushed out where people will use that hashtag. It's a bit complicated to explain without looking at it, but the easiest way to see it is someone starts the conversation, and in advance, there's the same two or three people who always start or say who's going to start the conversation. And they'll post a question to the group with the way that they'll write their tweet is Q1. And then they'll just list whatever their question was. After the question, then they'll put the hashtag SAT chat. Then anyone who wants to respond to that question, even if they're maybe a few moments or a few minutes or even maybe an hour or two afterwards, they'll respond to that question by using the format A1, and then their answer, again, hashtagging SAT chat at the end. So question one, and this is the question, and then everyone talks about it, and then maybe 5-10 minutes later, it's okay, now how about question two, and question three, and question four. And so they'll usually do about a half hour or an hour's worth of conversation in that format, and it's nice because it feels like you're at a meeting and you're joining in on conversations with peers and colleagues, and that's really helpful. So those are two great examples. There are others. The Explore Like a Pirate community on Twitter is great for people who do gamification in classrooms. That's XPLAP. There's a great book by a man named George Karos. He is an awesome educator and innovator, and he wrote a book called The Innovator's Mindset. And so you'll see a lot of conversations about hashtag innovator's mindset, all one word. People do innovative stuffs in the classroom. But there's also content area tweets and like subject area specific tweets. And for example, grade level tweets. Maybe if you're like a high school teacher, you might find a hashtag like high school chat, or English teacher, hashtag ENG chat. So you'll find these things sort of just by paying attention on Twitter over time. But it does take a little bit of like learning the ropes, so to speak. But some easy ones to start with would be like search for SAT chat or search for TLAP or search for the hashtag student centered. They're great examples of just thin ends of the wedge to kind of take part in those conversations. With your Twitter conversations, it's awesome because you can lean in and connect to educators all around the world. Every Twitter user has a username. It's just the at symbol and then whatever name they pick for themselves. And just by typing in the username, you can shoot a message to them directly on Twitter. I heard somebody say one time that Facebook is for all the people you used to know, and Twitter is for all the people you want to know. It's a great way to lean in on professional networks with published authors and educators, people all over the world, to just join in conversations and ask them questions. And because they're using it to build their brand and sell their books and, you know, promote their products and really kind of get their voice in the conversations about education, they're very, very receptive and very responsive. I've used Twitter for many, many years personally before I got into it professionally. And it was a real game changer in my education career background. So I encourage you to check it out. And that's like 10 minutes on Twitter. So I probably have said enough and I'll leave it there. Speaking of Twitter, you can tweet at me. I'm the at symbol, Meehan, E-D-U. So at like the at symbol, Meehan like my last name, M as in Mary, E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, and E-D-U like teaching, because I kind of like teaching and I would love to talk to you guys. So tweet at me, at Meehan, E-D-U, and we'll talk further. I would love to hear your thoughts about how Twitter works for you and give me information about the same. This is a dialogue, so I would love to lean in on your conversation and we can have more of it on Twitter and then here on the podcast. Thanks again, and I'm getting my car at the house, so I'll call it a day for today, and I'll see you next time.